You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
In her directorial debut, Jen McGowan tells the story of Kelly and Cal, two people a generation apart who feel like outcasts in American suburbia. The film, which won the Game Changer Award at the 2014 South by Southwest Film Festival, stars Juliette Lewis and Johnny Weston in the title roles, and it opens tomorrow at the IFC Center, along with a video on demand platforms also coming out tomorrow. I'm very pleased that it brings Juliette Lewis and Jen McGowan to our show today. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Juliette, although the film is called Kelly and Cal, Kelly, the character you play, is in every scene in the film, and you've said you were looking for a substantial leading role. Are you usually cast in supporting roles?
Oh, substantial leading role? I don't know what quote that is. I just look at, try to find amazing stories. I mean, amazing, that's rare to find something fresh and exciting that you haven't seen before. And when I first received the script of Kelly and Cal, I was completely knocked out by this person's, by Kelly's such an intimate journey, because we really are just with her in the house. We're with her when she's strolling her new baby. We're with her when she meets and befriends the kid across the street. And there's such an intimacy and ambivalence, internal contradictions and ambivalence in her spirit. And I related to that. So I'm always just looking for layers, and this script has that. Yes. And yes, you are correct. I did work 16-hour days along with my fearless director, who worked longer hours and got less sleep than I did.
And Jen, you've said that part of the appeal here was that it's a kind of a coming-of-age story for a woman who's in her late 30s.
Yeah, which I don't think we really see that often. You know, everybody's familiar with the coming-of-age story for a man in a midlife crisis. You know, he goes out and buys the Lamborghini.
Or girls or teenagers.
Or the teenagers. But nobody, it's like, for some reason, our stories kind of drop off in the middle. And that's a vibrant and interesting time for women.
She is a punk rocker turned suburban mom who's nostalgic for the days of her youth. Juliette, you're also a musician. Did that make it easier to identify with her?
Yeah, it was interesting because I identified with the theme of being in midlife, because I'm 41. I've been saying 40 lately. Does it matter in the year?
It's
knocking
okay.
off a year?
Nah,
anyway, I'm 41, but I related to her that midlife theme where you're sort of like, okay, I've arrived. I've accomplished a few things. Now what? You know, and you kind of long for that rebellious spirit you had when you were a kid, or, you know, the idealism or the F you thing. And you're like, I'm going to show them. And it's like, that's not what sustains you in middle age.
And yeah. You told the Huffington Post, I related to her slight irresponsibility and her selfishness because, you know, I've been an artist since I was out of the womb. And part of you is like, is this just a narcissistic endeavor?
Wow, that's a good quote.
And I remember saying it?
I can stand by that quote. No, those are my words 100%. Yeah, because I think you question, being an artist, a creative type, there's a certain obsessive quality. You have to have an obsessive self-belief because you're going against the odds all the time. And that whole art versus commerce, you're the only one that's going to drive this ship. And it's it's kind of a brutal industry. Jen is shaking her head. She knows exactly what I'm talking about. But and then I'm also like, look at my friends. They're buying curtains and they know about linens and they have house parties. And what am I doing? I'm like putting a band of boys together to go and live in a van and play rock shows. Like, is that sensible?
I think that's what's interesting about this age, too, is all of a sudden you're starting to feel real consequences of the decisions you made for the last 20 years that felt like they had no consequence.
Yes.
Well, but in Kelly's case, she has been forced to leave that old life behind as much as she regrets it. She keeps a tape of her music, of the band that she was
with.
But it is not a DVD. It's
the cassette tape.
It's an old cassette tape.
Right. Good old cassette.
And the problem with things like that is you also have to keep the gear to listen to it on. But I would say, I wouldn't say she was forced to leave. I think it was her choice. It's just sometimes when you make choices, you don't realize you're making a big choice.
And now she's had a child. And we could say that she's suffering from postpartum depression to some degree.
I think a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. That's what's so beautiful about the film, too, is it is that. It is midlife crisis. It is postpartum. But there's an unsentimentality. Thank you. Do I
or
get
nonsense,
a
whatever?
Yeah, you get a ness.
Do I get a cookie for that? The amount of syllables.
Yeah.
No, but I love the unsentimental approach that the script took with those themes. That she's a little bit contradictory because even as a new mother, she's going, am I doing this right? Am I supposed to feel in love? Does the baby even like me? You know, those questions, we don't normally see that with new motherhood in films too. And I thought that was interesting. And even with Johnny Weston's role, Cal, that's interesting too, because you see in a lot of independent films that it goes way over the line. You know, there's not some big lavish affair, but there's this slow brew into inappropriateness.
Well, there's a subtle,
that's interesting.
A subtle subtext of sexuality.
Yeah.
But you have to be
sure.
careful not to make audiences hate you by crossing the line.
Yeah.
You're hitting the nail on the head, because when I read the script, I was like, I was getting mad at her. And I went, oh, I must play this part, because if she's making me mad, it means it would challenge me on how to play that. And as an actor, I'm trying to be fearless. I never want to think about, oh, please like me. I don't want to think about the audience liking me. I want realness. So there she is being irresponsible. And some people are going to say that they might not like her. I remember we talked about this.
Yeah, definitely.
And on the one hand, I was like, because I didn't like her at times, but I knew how to be her. And that's why it reminded me of myself, because I've been pissed off at myself before.
It also depended on the other characters around her, how they were reacting to what Kelly was doing, to kind of guide us through how we should feel about what she was doing at certain times.
Including one of the more surprising castings, Sybil Shepherd, in an unglamorous role.
She's so lovely. She's lovely. She was in New York shooting a Peter Bogdanovich film, and she very kindly gave us her days
off. That's where she got her start.
Yes, I know.
My guests are Jen McGowan, who is the director of Kelly and Cal, which opens tomorrow at the IFC Center, also available on video on demand platforms tomorrow, and Juliet Lewis, who plays Kelly, the main character in this film. Although Cal is an important character here as well, how did you come to cast Johnny Weston in that role?
So we did casting through a casting company in Los Angeles called Bard & Schnee, and we did traditional casting for the role of Cal, and we saw a lot of great young actors. But when Johnny came in, it was like, you just knew instantly.
Because there's a chemistry need here,
yeah,
isn't there?
Yeah, there really is, and there's a power that's needed and an independence and a kind of fierceness.
Yeah.
And then we narrowed it down to four people. I mean, I was certain it was going to be Johnny, but we really wanted to be sure. And Juliet came in and did a read with us opposite the others, and it was so clear.
Do you know immediately, Juliet?
Yeah, here's the thing. It was so important to me. The movie's called Kelly and Cal. I said, I got it. I'm not going to spend time at the beach. I need to be part of the casting process. I need to sit across from the two things I was concerned with is, one, I wanted him to be of age, because there's, you know, a couple scenes I don't want to be with a teenager.
They were all of age.
No, they were. No, but I'm saying, if there was a 16-year-old,
well,
I'm not
there's a new
kid
film
him.
About Errol Flynn having an affair with Beverly Adlin when she was 15 years old. And
So I want to, though I'm in show business, I'd like to keep things legal.
Yeah, good.
So we did, they were all above 20. Anyway, and then the huge thing is, because Kelly's more internal and quiet and reserved, and Cal, I was in love with Cal on the page, by the way. The writing, it was so vivid to me. And so we needed an actor that, because sometimes they can audition great, but if he's sitting next to me, he might, I don't want to toot my own horn.
They get scared.
I don't want to go like,
no,
oh, they might
true,
be intimidated,
though.
But he has to be able to dominate the energy of the scene and not have back off with sitting next to me, you know?
He wasn't scared of you at all.
No, that's, of course.
I mean, he was in love with you, but he wasn't scared of
you. The thing about Johnny that was so...
Oh, I don't want to know what happened when the cameras weren't rolling.
Well, listen, the thing about
laughing.
Johnny is he has such a vivaciousness, and he has no airs, and he's in love with the art of acting. And he had enough naivete that he could have bravado and be cocky, and he was just great.
But he also had to play the role in a wheelchair, which makes the acting a lot harder.
Well, we got him a wheelchair a month in advance. We had him work with therapists who work with people who use wheelchairs. We had him in touch with two people who use wheelchairs to consult with him. It was really important that we got that right and that he wasn't preoccupied with that because, you know, that would be part of his life.
This is not your first film, Jen, but it's your first feature film?
It's my first feature.
How did you come to direct it? You have done commercials?
I have mostly done short films.
And short films.
Yeah.
Were they good preparation for this?
They were, yeah. It got to take me through the whole process over and over multiple times and learn, you know, kind of my style and what I like and what audiences respond to and how to deal with what audiences respond to or don't respond to. And this project, though, was from a writer called Amy Lo Starbin, who went to USC, which I also did. And it started in an alumni program meant to foster feature films amongst the alumni. We met there, and I developed the script with her.
And it feels like there are improvised scenes, but is that just good writing, Julia?
It's really good writing.
And great acting.
Oh, thank you. It's the this is written, it feels really real, these scenes, and they're subtle, they have subtle shifts, and I don't know, they're just really beautiful, and it's me and Johnny and I should say, the way we played off each other, it was kind of magical.
And that's important because there are only limited locations in this film. I was guessing it was shot in Long Island, but I guess it could be shot in any suburban area because it just has the feel of American suburbia.
That's what we were going for, but we did shoot it in Long Island, yes.
when she's at home, she is a suburban mom. When she's in Cal's room, she's a young rocker. When she's sitting by the fence smoking a cigarette while the baby cries, she's something between the two.
Yeah, she's just pent up, frustrated, lost, disenchanted, disillusioned, and she doesn't know what she is. And that sentiment I had just gone through the year prior to getting this script. So I think
in what way?
Just I mean, without getting overly personal,
you can get overly personal.
You're like, here's the place. Let's see. I had, you know, I accomplished a few things in the world of cinema. At age 30, I went, hold on, because I was always going to sing.
But you started very young also, didn't you? Your father's an actor?
Yeah, I started when I was a teenager. So I did. But what you don't know about me is when I was young, my even younger self, I was always going to be a singer and a live performer. And so I had gotten successful young and was sort of put on this hamster wheel of chasing the next thing and make sure you stay on it and all that stuff that comes from others, not me. And then I went, wait a second, I'm a singer, I'm a songwriter, I want to perform, I want to be with audiences and have that currency. And so when I turned 30, that's when I went, oh, hey, clock ticking, you're 30. And I formed a rock and roll band, and I started writing songs. And I, long story short, I had been on tour for about 6 years. That ended, and I was also, my parents, my father got sick. I was starting to take care of my family in a different way, and I just found myself... The younger, ferocious, you know, the person who was on tour forever wasn't driving me. I didn't know what I wanted. So this script came to me in that light.
And you allowed her to write some of the music for the film as well. So
she performed two of the songs, which are fantastic. One which is in the middle, and that one is, well, people will have to see it because that one's particularly fun. And then the final song called Change, which is actually in our trailer, which I think is really beautiful.
You have another film in the works now that you've done this?
I do. I have another small film, which we're shooting in Los Angeles, called Millie to the Moon.
And
isn't that, first of all, is that not the greatest title, Millie to the Moon?
Are you in it,
I love
Julia?
It. No, I'm not in it. I just want the name on a T-shirt because it's so visual.
That can be a sexy back, band name.
Yeah,
are
Millie
you back
to the Moon.
To films or to music?
Oh, yeah. No, so here's what I'm doing. I'm just driving myself crazy, which is what I'm used to in my creative process. No, I'm just kidding. I'm doing a television show right now that will be on ABC next year, co-starring Ryan Phillippe and other incredible actors. I've never been more fulfilled in my acting life. I love this series. And then I made an album that I hope to put out next year and tour. That's what I meant by driving myself crazy, because I'm trying. I will attempt to do both.
Meanwhile, we have this film called Kelly and Cal. It opens tomorrow at the IFC Center. You can also see it on video on demand platforms. My great thanks to Juliette Lewis, who plays Kelly, and to Jen McGowan, who directed the film, for being on our show today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.